Everyone has a story worth telling. On man on the mic, the lessons are compelling. We uncover the journey, the highs and lows. It's your story that matters. It's how we grow.
All right, coming at you live and direct. Welcome to Man on the Mic. I am Anthony. Here's your host, Jeff. Happy to be here today.
What's up, everybody? Hello, everyone. I'm super excited for this episode. My brother Anthony, we talked about this for the past few weeks. He's invited us over to his facility and stuff. And so before we start, I want to get a chance for him to introduce himself and tell you guys about what he does and who he is.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. So I am Anthony. First off, I'm a husband, soon-to-be father, and I love to work with people. My main role is working with hospitality, working through food and through nutrition with sports teams here in Utah. And we wanted to take this unique opportunity here in my office that I've gotten to decorate and show people kind of who I am and just chat about the wall behind us for a second.
Awesome. So let's take a second. Tell us about all these amazing photos you have.
Yeah. Well, I love being different. And, you know, most offices, like, they're very just straightforward. And I wanted it to be a place. So stuff that you know, can't even see, but we have very just intentional lamps and lighting. And I love the show Suits, if you've ever seen it.
Yep.
And they've got the little desk lamps. So I got one of those and I'll be just, you know, working, and it's a good place where a lot of good work happens. Yeah, on the wall, just starting out from the center, we can work our way out. Music has been a big influence in my life. I love music. I'm a musician. I play the drums.
Okay.
And my mom, she was born in Detroit. She lived there for 44 years. Was born in 1952, and so she grew up with Motown and Marvin Gaye, and all of that music from that era really influenced how I grew up and the music that I love today. And so my favorite Marvin Gaye album, just a little bit more music. I've got a wide taste. I like a little bit of everything. So you see Odessa, The Weeknd, Mac DeMarco's up there, minus the bear.
Who's your favorite artist?
My favorite artist, it really depends on the day.
Okay.
It depends on my mood. But I feel like I have a different artist for each day and for each mood.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm the same way. I can be jazz music, country music, R&B, rap music. It just depends on,
yeah.
Am I at the gym? Am I trying to relax? Kind of what's going on during the day.
Yep, yep. I've got a playlist called Good Night, and it's for driving home late.
Okay.
Or getting back from a road trip or after a game. But I know exactly what you're saying. But as a chef, you know, mushrooms, I love umami. We cook a lot with mushrooms, so they're awesome. Learning more too about functional mushrooms, like the lion's mane and the cognitive benefits, that's been really cool. So I picked that up at a market in San Francisco when I was there.
It's okay.
I love London. It's my favorite city. I'm fascinated by the tube, London Underground. So that photo right there illustrates just the train being kind of like the arteries and veins in the city. I think that's a really cool representation. I like old movies a lot. So Hitchcock, North by Northwest is one of them.
Way over here, cool.
And there's something that my mom taught me, you know, she kind of put me on, and my wife and I will sit back and we'll watch a Hitchcock movie every now and then.
Okay.
That's been fun. Well, I got started working in sports over here with the Rams. I was in St. Louis and I worked in LA for 2 years after that.
Okay.
And so that's a little article from back then. And then I'm really into making drinks. And so this is a vodka martini being shaken up on top above me. Cool little wall clock. I got a space to fill here, but it'll come in due time. You got some Polaroids behind you too, just some things from work that we've captured. I love my team, the people I get to work with, and it's just a beautiful place.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love the community that you've created and the way that you guys all interact. I'm super excited for this episode. So guys, as you can see, Anthony's amazing. This is gonna be a great episode, a lot to talk about and some amazing knowledge. So check out the episode and let's have some fun.
Sign up for a weightlifting competition.
Okay.
It's on December 14th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's that?
In Murray.
Okay.
Yeah.
December 4th, I'm putting on my calendar right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna shout out the group, and if anybody wants to pop over, I get the times and stuff probably next week. I haven't competed since March of 2023.
Okay.
I went through over a year of like
chronic back issues that was really inhibiting me. And it's been cool now, like actually Jeff Hammond, he hooked me up with a guy in actually group four that's a manual therapy that helped me get my stuff right. And now feeling healthy, feeling good, keeping up with my like soft tissue work and first competition in like 18 months coming.
Okay.
So yeah.
So with weightlifting competition, not weight loss, but what lifts are you doing?
So it's Olympic lifting. So the snatch and the clean and jerk are the toe lifts. Yep.
Okay.
But I'm ready to go, man. My weight class is 89 kilos, so it's 196 pounds, and I've actually got my goal numbers up on the whiteboard.
Okay.
That 223 is the kilos that I'm going for.
Okay.
And those are each lift, the clean and jerk on top, and then the snatch are what I got to hit inside.
That's why you've been snatching so much on Instagram story.
That makes sense. For a while, man. No, so it's been fun, man, coming back from the injury and just, you know, working on the things you can work on as far as, like, I got more serious with my nutrition and my diet, got serious with my sleep. I took 90 days off of drinking, and that was just really impactful for all those different things. And it's been a cool journey to kind of, you know, coming back to being healthy and being able to move as I want to again.
Yeah, no, I love that. So I'm curious, with your working in nutrition with sports teams and high-level athletes, how has that impacted, I guess, your fitness journey and your nutrition journey?
I'd say that it can humble you a lot because you're around, you know, some of the highest performers in the world. And if, you know, you see something that they do, I learned working in football, you know, really young, like, oh, like I want to look like that, or I want to do something like that. And then you go in the weight room after hours and you try it then and you can't even get close to that. So I say, like, in some ways it humbles you, but it's also a beautiful place to be around when you talk about just work, dedication, just consistency. A lot of people, they see the sexiness of, you know, what's happening at the game. And some people might just think, like, you just show up and play. But really, it's a beyond full-time job that goes in around what happens that the fans get to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So walk us through kind of what does a day-to-day look like for you?
I'm super blessed that with the structure that I have with my team right now, as I'm overseeing three different units of this group that I work with. So we have the Utah Jazz, the Utah Hockey Club, and then there's a private event space that I also get to oversee. So depending on which space I find like it needs more attention, or we might be working towards a new project. We're working on our new menu that's going to release on December 18th in that private event space. And so I've been spending a lot of time meeting and talking with the chefs. We're turning up how we do our table service, our front of house. So little tiny things of, you know, resetting the silverware, how we fold the napkins. And so that one has been getting a lot of my time in this past week. But I have a really open structure with all my managers that we've come to a great place where when people need me, they let me know.
Yeah.
And then I'm there. I had one of my teammates, he said, hey, you know, I've got some stuff I want to catch up with you with. I know you've been on the road with the Jazz. You know, can we get some time in the next few days? And Google Calendar changed my life. I'll say that. I put it right in my calendar the next day. Hey, how's 11:30 work? Oh, that's perfect. Like, you know, can't wait to talk to it. And it's just been growth, man.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I kind of want to start at the beginning. What is it that got you into this nutrition and working with athletes? Like, where did you start and find the passion for this?
Yeah. So coming out of high school, I was dead set that I was going to become a nurse. And I had my vision. I wanted to be a nurse anesthetist. You know, I like the salary. I like the hours. And I had the vision of, you know, being in my scrubs and driving my Range Rover Sport Supercharged and going to pick my kids up from soccer. And lo and behold, I get into my junior year of college and we're in the hospital doing rotations in nursing school. And I made two C's in my junior year in my first semester. And they said, hey, you made two C's, we got to kick you out. And so it was just kind of like a spiral of, I'm getting kicked out of my program. Like, what do I do? You know, just all these emotions over me, like I failed TDF essentially. And then of course, like, call my parents, and I don't know what even happened, but one of my really good friends at the time, he was on the football team, and I always noticed he was coming home. He had like the little cherry juice, or it was like a peanut butter sandwich, a Gatorade protein shake, like whatever. And he said that the sports dietitian like has volunteers that work there at, it's called the fueling station, where, you know, they'll come next to produce, you know, it's just a high level, you know, pre-workout kind of stuff, recovery, carbohydrates, all that nutrient timing was happening. And I sent in a resume and a cover letter, and I said, hey, I would love to come volunteer with you.
Okay.
And that kickstarted my whole career as far as getting into sports. Her name was Miss Allison Maurer.
Okay.
And she's an athletic director at Knoxville Catholic High School right now. But she gave me a project. She said, hey, Anthony, the head coach wants fresh juice for the team. I'm going to give you this project. And I worked on her schedule Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 hours each day. But then she gives me the project, and I said, well, if they're going to practice every day, I think they should get juice every day, right? So I started to come in addition to those shifts before class, for just a couple hours in the morning. And I would get there early, and I never played sports in school. I'll say that. I was in the band. That's where the music piece comes from.
Okay.
But I was on this, you know, my friend who was on the football team, I mentioned, like, he got me into how to work out and training, and I fell in love with it. So I would show up early at like 5:45 so I could get a few sets in on the neck machine, because I was all about trying to get a big neck and traps. But I would show up early, then make the juice for a couple hours every day, then go to class. So fast forward, a few months go by, and she says to me, I'm walking by her. She says, hey, Anthony, come here for a second. I said, hey, what's up? She goes, I'm going to pimp you out this summer. And I said, all right. And I just kept walking. I know what that meant.
Yeah.
She got me an unpaid internship in St. Louis for training camp.
Okay.
And so came and attacked that with the same energy. And that turned into me staying there. I had 4 seasons with them. So it was beautiful, man. I got to move to L.A. And then I got fired when I was in L.A. in 2018. In February, and the Jazz had actually reached out in 2017, and I said, hey, you know, respectfully, like, Coach Sean McVay just started, and he brought in this amazing energy. He was talking about, you know, defining who we are as a team, like using the pyramid of competitive greatness and just putting up the pictures on the wall, and everybody was just so bought into this new head coach. You know, we went to the playoffs that year for the first time in, I think, a decade, and I said, you know, it just feels really good. We just had camp. I don't want to go right now. But if you guys are still looking, you know, after the football season's over, like, give me a call. We can have a conversation. And so lo and behold, like, they called back. And it was probably 5 days after they had said, hey, we're going to cut your position. And they said, do you want to have a conversation? And I said, I would love to. And I had a conversation. I came out here, and this has become more than I could ever have dreamed of.
Yeah.
Just with, it started out as me and one other teammate, the sweetest woman, Miss Bernie. She had been here setting up catering and helping out making smoothies, keeping the room clean. And so it was me and her at the beginning making food for the team. And now I mentioned the 3 different departments and then over 30 team members. And so it's, in the last 7 years, it's just become a beautiful growing organism.
That's amazing. Congrats. I want to ask you, what advice do you have? Because I've been part of companies where they've had layoffs and different things. And, you know, for someone who's young and they're in their first job and it's the first time they lose a job, they really don't know how either to function or how to do that. So when you're in a role where, you know, they come to you and they cut your position and stuff, what is your mindset? How do you get through that?
I think that naturally, especially if you're experiencing it early on, and you haven't had a lot of exposure, there's a natural shame in failure.
Okay.
In, you know, maybe you didn't expect it or what was gonna happen, but not letting that define you. And it's really not so much, I think, that event, but it's how you handle the event. You know, in our leadership group, we talk about, you know, we're not gonna have a victim mentality.
Yeah.
So you say, you know, what would somebody who is strong-willed and strong-minded, like, how would they handle this situation? And they wouldn't let it define them. Whereas on the other side, if that becomes your whole story, you know, I got laid off, I got my position cut, and you let that, you know, be your narrative. But I think it's educating more individuals to say, this happened to me, and then I did this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm like, okay, now I have this free time. I have a chance for growth. What did I learn from that experience? Yes, it sucks and it hurts, but how can I pivot this to be able to ultimately go towards my goals? Mm. And I think it's just a mind shift of, you know, it sucks and there can be some panic because you got to pay the bills and stuff. But if what you put into the universe gives back. And I truly believe when you get in a state like that and you can truly focus on your goals and you're pushing, you're doing all you can and you're helping other people, it's amazing how you'll see the return and opportunities pop up. And then it's like, wow, okay, now I'm in this new job and now I'm excelling and I'm happier than I was before. You know, I've made better friends with coworkers than I had before. And so it's amazing to see the shift if you're willing to go through that journey. Mm-hmm. I'm curious for you, because with my job, I mean, I had a period where I was on the road 13 weeks in a row. And, you know, I've always been the person who I go, and then I burn out and crash, and then I have to reset and regroup and refocus. And so for you, traveling with the Jazz and doing all the stuff, and having a wife and having stuff at home and your own personal things, how do you balance work and life?
First, I think it's about your approach. And so I'm not trying to approach my life as balance, but I heard it said once before that you can approach it in a way where you're searching for rhythm.
A little.
Because I think like when you're trying to achieve and create things that are new, whether it's an entrepreneur, intrapreneur, however it might be, you're gonna have to sacrifice to get to those goals and to do what you want to. So I think finding a rhythm has been super valuable for me, where like my wife and I, we started doing, this was last season towards the latter half of it, where we had tried a weekly date night and it failed. And some of that was like, I might be on the road with the team for 11, 12 days at a time. Yeah, it's like, well, there's more than a week go by right there. But we've set it up now that we have the big calendar at home, and twice a month, like sometime within the first 15 days and the last 15 days, there's a date night on there. That's how we actually have one tonight. I mentioned earlier how valuable the calendar has been. And so on my calendar, I'm not taking any meetings today after 3 p.m. And I told her I'll be home at 3:15. She said, all right, the date's gonna start at 3:30. And so we do this thing where the first one, she'll plan what we're doing, and then the next one I'll plan, so we'll take turns. And it's been a really fun way to just continue to date each other. But, you know, putting that thing where I've always heard, you know, do a weekly date night and do a weekly date night. But looking at us, and it applies just the same way with everybody wants the perfect nutrition plan, but the best plan is going to be the one that you can have consistency with. He said, so finding that consistency with my wife has been awesome. And then whenever I have time to pop away, you know, I'm very blessed. The people who travel with the team full time, they are some of the hardest working people that I know. And it's really, they're taking great care and helping the team to function.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed to not be traveling every single time with them. So if we get a pocket of 2 or 3 days, you know, I'm going to see, can I pop down to an Airbnb for a staycation, or what, you know, what can I do that's, you know, going to fill my cup outside of work? And so learning to kind of create these pockets in a season where, you know, it's over 100 games when you include like Jazz on the road, you got Jazz and hockey at home, and everybody here, you know, a lot of people have taken on hockey responsibilities as well. We're all learning together, but it's rhythm is what I think the answer is to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to pivot away from work, nutrition, everything that you do. I want to learn about Anthony away from work. Mm-hmm. What are you passionate about? What do you love to do in your life away from work?
Yeah. So my... the number one thing that I've been working towards every day, and it actually, it happened, we talk about not letting what happens to you define you.
Yeah.
But I broke my foot in 2022. It was New Year's Day. I was at work running up some stairs and I missed a step and I rolled my foot.
It just snapped?
And it was a Jones fracture. So broke my foot and hired a coach to help me get back as far as my lifting and everything goes.
Yeah.
Because I love training. I love working out. And this coach, his specialty was Olympic weightlifting.
Okay.
And so I had always said, oh, that looks cool. I want to do it. And hiring that coach was like, well, I'm actually going to do it now. And so fast forward, you know, I've been working with this guy for 2+ years. And so Olympic style weightlifting is something that I love to do. I've got a competition coming up in a couple weeks, and it's just a fun way because it's you against you. You know, you put up your numbers, you try to do it again. It's a very nuanced sport. I'm excited to get into golf. I don't golf yet, but I've heard people compare it where it's this game of, you know, centimeters.
Yeah.
Where the bar is positioned the right way and that kind of stuff. So I love weightlifting. And then I'm working now to goal set intentionally.
Okay.
And then I mentioned earlier, it's not the perfect plan, but the plan you could have consistency with. And so my season with work, you know, when you look at these sports between basketball, between hockey, they run from basically September through April.
Yeah.
And so come December at this time when everybody's talking about New Year's resolutions and goals, like I'm deep in the mud and there's just executed work that is happening day in and day out. So this year differently, I changed it and I said, all right, I'm going to do my goal setting in June. And I'm going to start at July 1st. That's when our calendar is. And so that's been very cool to do it because now we're going into, you know, 6 months of that and I'm already in my rhythm.
Yeah.
In my routine. So I started asking myself questions. You know, part of it was like I joined We Are the They and asking myself questions of like, who is this man that I was created to become?
Yeah.
And things like I've never really asked myself about like my spirituality and then family. Like I'm asking myself questions like that where I have amazing people between myself and my wife's family that I don't try to spend time with.
Yeah.
Now that I'm making intentional efforts where I've started doing like monthly Zoom calls with some family members, like, and we just talk about life. Same thing with mentors, who people that I admire, you know, and you're in your head like, oh, well, they don't have time for me or this or that. But it's like, same thing. We're doing a monthly Zoom check-in and like I'm learning from them, they're learning from me. So pouring into some of these buckets or, you know, dipping my toes into buckets of things that is outside of work that is going to help me answer those questions of, you know, when you take all the work away, which at the end of my day, I'm going to love having a challenge, going to love trying to build something, to create something. I think as humans, that's like a driving force in our core.
Yeah.
But beyond all that, you know, what are these things that bring me joy that make me happy?
That's huge. No, I love that. That's powerful. I'm curious because there's a lot of people, and it took me years before I joined the men's coaching group, and I had worked with different coaches and therapists, and I have my team. I call it my dream team. I have a spiritual coach I work with, a life coach, and all these different people that I can reach out to, and they help shift the way that I think and deal with situations. And I'm curious, what is it that led you to join a coaching group and invest into yourself?
I actually mentioned, and it ties right into like joining the group, but it was the first retreat that we had, the first Ludus, that I realized that I wanted to be a father and that I wanted to grow my family like for so long. And my wife and I, we got together and we said like, we don't want kids. Like, you know, I had incredible experiences with mentors that felt like parents to me. And I said, well, I can, you know, give that feeling to somebody else.
Yeah.
But it was actually, you know, through some of these prompts and these questions and these visualization exercises where once you take away the work, like what do you want to have? And so I realized that I wanted to have kids. So leading into this, I just started searching for coaching. And I've always heard the phrase that coaches need coaches, and getting into like the weightlifting coaching, that's been just changed my life where I have someone who we have accountability, there's a system. It's less for me to think about where I show up and I have intention when I show up, but like there's someone in my corner helping me. And I realized like I wanted to get some life coaching. And that was what led me to it. And so I started doing interviews, and I had just followed Jimmy on social media for a while, and sent him a DM, and then here we are. We're like 6 months into the program now. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Two trips, and I love our group. It's 50 great dudes that you can reach out to, connect with. On the way up here, I was on the phone with three different guys. Just one's birthday, one just checking in, one's like, hey, we need to do lunch this week and stuff. And it's amazing when you find that community of other people who are wanting to work on themselves, who are wanting to become better men. I think for me, the biggest thing has been, as a man, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to show emotion. Because so many times our society says, the man, we have to be tough and we have to be shelled and all of this. And I'm like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be open. It's okay to also not be okay.
Yeah.
I've had so many days where things can be going awful and you want to pretend like it's not and put on a front and act like it's different. I'm like, it's okay to tell people, hey, it's a bad day. I need some time. And just disconnect so that you can reset. And it's so much healthier, I think, for men when we do that versus sweeping it under the rug, because I feel like it builds, and then it explodes.
I would always shut down, put it under the rug, pretend there was nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And in recent work, I've learned to say, hey, I'm feeling this way today. I'm not exactly sure why. I think it might be because of this, but for the people that are close to me, just so you know, like, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
And looking at little kids now, observing, I think it, we talked about it on a call, but the young kids have so little problem displaying their emotion.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're upset, they whine, like, or they're hurting, they cry, like, they're hungry, they do something. And it's just, whereas, like, I don't know why, as when we get older, especially like you said, as men, there's this narrative that we have to be tough and be in the shell and cover it up. But It's just, I don't even know what the word is. Just so good.
Yeah.
To let it out.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think it's healthy. Biggest thing, I think it's needed.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about doing this podcast and having these conversations, because so many different people can share insights. And I think what we learn is, hey, everyone is going through something. Everyone has problems. We're all humans. There's no one out there that has a perfect life. And so it's understanding that I'm like every other person out there. And more people are like you than are not. But we don't take the time to connect. We don't take the time to be present. We don't take the time to listen. We'll sit there and we pretend like we hear, but we're not actually listening what they're saying and being present so that we can respond. I'm curious, and everyone has a different answer for this, but for you, what does it mean for you to be a man?
For me, what does it mean for me to be a man? The first thing that comes to mind is being tough. That's what comes to mind, is being an example for other men. But I think that being a tough man, like, there's a lot to that equation.
Okay.
And vulnerability is a piece of being a tough man.
Yeah.
Where I think that the stereotypical tough man, that's not the kind that I'm talking about, but I'm talking about one who wants to connect, wants to be vulnerable, wants to create an environment that allows growth for him and then for those in his circle, whether that's in home or at work, and just someone who's gonna, keep fighting the good fight and inspiring others.
Well, that's big time there. I'm, for me, it's different because my last name is also Man. And so I'm like, for me, it's about representing my family and the values and the things that we believe in, and people understanding this is who I am. You can love me, you can hate me, but this is me. I think the second part, I think you're so right. is being vulnerable is a sign of strength, because we're willing to show people who we are and not wear a mask. I think for most of my life, in the societies and the places I've lived, I've focused so much on having a mask on. And through coaching and connecting the past year, it's like, why? Take the mask off. Be you, be present. And when you learn to be yourself, I feel like so many more people connect with you, because they start to see the true person. You're no longer hiding. You're completely open. And then you start having the right people gravitate towards you.
Yeah.
You know, so many times we have a mask on and we're faking. We end up in the wrong circles or the wrong crowds and stuff, because that's where we think we need to be. When all reality, if we're just ourselves, we will attract those who are meant to be in our lives. I've started a new thing on my podcast, and I want to give you a chance. And it's been interesting. It's been kind of fun to do this. But I always give whoever my guest is a chance to ask me a question. And it can be anything. For me, one thing about this podcast and me and everything I talk about on social is I'm completely open. So nothing's off limits.
Yeah.
So I want to give you that opportunity.
Vulnerability is cool. Is something that I wanted to get out before we move on to this next part of the journey together. But I already asked you how long you've been doing this, how you got into it. I would love to learn about what are you thinking in terms of like 5 or 10 years, you know, do you plan ahead for yourself like that? What kind of visions are you having right now, and how is that looking as far as your life shaping up?
So for me, it's kind of interesting. When I joined this company, 1DS out of Los Angeles, when we talked about is, do I come in and just be an employee? Or do we start another branch of the company that I come and run and I head up and everything and start a whole branch around public relations? And I told them, you know, I said, let me just come and be an employee because I want to learn and I want to see, I want to meet the clients. I want to see what the culture is and stuff. And so for me, for years, I've thought about running my own company. And my hard thing with that's been like, I hate the operations side, the billing and chasing down money and doing all of that with clients. I just want to be with the clients, be able to serve them and work with them and help get their platform and their message to the world. And so, you know, for me, my dream has been this past year, I just moved into a home. You know, I found an amazing job and a career that I can grow in. And so for me, the biggest thing in the next few years is I probably want to be able, you know, find that special someone and get married, start a family. I honestly, once I get settled down, I coached high school sports for 9 years. And I've thought about, you know, once I can get settled down and comfortable, getting back into coaching, because I love it. It's a great outlet. It's a chance to serve the youth and help them through a program be the men that they're supposed to be when they get ready to go to college, whatever other phase of life. But, you know, I honestly think my biggest thing is I would love to be part of, help this company grow to the point where it can sell. And then there could be an exit. And then who knows what that next journey is and that stuff is.
Do you journal about this stuff or vision board or kind of manifestation work in that?
So I didn't used to do it. This past year, I've started doing that more and kind of writing down my steps and my goals and where I want to be. And then, you know, I've put the people in my life that hold me accountable to follow up on that and make sure I'm working towards that too. But journaling and having a vision board is such a great reminder, because you can be in the mundane of life and the normal routine, and then you look at the vision board, it's like, oh, that's where I want to be. And it gives you an energy to be like, okay, I need to play full out if I want to reach what I said is a vision and a goal.
Yeah. I thought it was cool. At our first retreat, our first Ludus, we did that exercise where we wrote a letter to ourselves.
Yeah.
And in that letter, I wrote about, you know, having a child that was like, you know, 1.5 years old or whatever. And then we had been trying to get pregnant. And then it was like, hey, like, I think I'm pregnant. And so just going back to like the power in things you write down.
Yeah.
The things you speak into existence. And I want to challenge you in this moment where I've made for myself a 20-year plan for when I turn 50.
Definitely. So for the next while, you know, I'm very dedicated to my work and to my life now, but I've always been saying for, it's been about 3 years now, when I turn 50, I'm going to go into the woodshed.
Okay.
And just go all in on drumming.
Okay.
By the time I'm 70, we talk about this like 20 years for mastery. So by the time I'm 70, I want to be the studio drummer for whoever is Bruno Mars in 2070.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah. So I want you to think about what is 20 years looking okay. like in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get that put together and then I'll take a picture and shoot it over to you. I appreciate the challenge. I think that's something that's good to do and it's exciting to see what happens. I kind of want to bring this full circle and wrap this up, and I would love to know for you, we never know when checkout time is. We never know when our time in a job, on life, whatever it's going to be, is going to be over. And so for you, how do you want people to remember you?
I want to be remembered as somebody who created opportunities for other people. Like, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, but I think that there's a narrative about the guide, whether it's in the movies or stories or in life, where we have these opportunities where we can be the guide for someone. Or, you know, I don't want to necessarily be the hero in my story, but can I be the guide for so many other people to help them achieve that hero status in their own life and then pay it forward so that they can be the guy for someone else. So being a great guide, that's how I want to be remembered.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a lot like mine, because my biggest thing is whenever I leave a room or a job or whatever it is, I want people to remember me for Jeff gave more than they took. That's the biggest thing for me, is if I can give, if I can serve, I get a different energy and I help, and I hope people remember me, whether it's this podcast, you know, great information there and insights and conversations, whether it's my clients, great opportunities, great messages, and whether it's my friends, I gave myself when I was present for friends and family, but also for myself. I think that's the biggest thing I've learned this past year, is I can give to other people, that's fine. But I never took that time for myself and to give myself the honor and the respect that I deserve.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say thank you for making time. I know you got a busy schedule.
Thank you,
bro. And everything, but you have an amazing story and a journey, and I'm excited to see what more opportunities you create for people, and you become a father.
We have a sign right outside the store that says, leave it better than you found it.
I love that.
I think that's a great message for everything we've been talking about.
I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, brother.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We're good. Awesome.